Prezelor, hesabın adaleti de bakacağım. Bakacağım chapter 9. And you read from verse 1 to verse 15. We started last week. We have read the whole chapter. And this week we will continue. I read from verse 1 to verse 15. They say, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me, while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, made a clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisee also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, He put the clay upon my eyes, and I wash and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word to us. You magnify, we adore you, Lord. Teach us your word, and teach us your will and your ways. He said to evangelize. I pray for effectiveness of your word in our lives, to change us, to go deep through the scriptures and understand will and see things in reality as the scriptures stated to us. So God, I pray, anoint my lips and put verses and words and statements to direct the people in the right direction that you want us to move. We thank you, God. We bless you, Jesus. We magnify you. We adore you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. We will continue. In verse 7, when the Lord anointed this man with the clay on his eyes, he sent him to wash in the pool of Siloam. The meaning of Siloam, the meaning of it is sent. Apostle John, the one who wrote this gospel, he put the meaning of the pool. Have you get the point? He wrote that he sent him to the pool of Siloam, and he put the interpretation of it. And the meaning of it is sent. In evangelism, when we give the good news, we send the people into a certain direction. This man was sent into the pool of Siloam to wash his eyes. To wash. Maybe the whole body, but to wash. How about in the way they met him, his friends, they invite him to some cafeteria, and they said, do you think he will be healed? If he's in the way misdirected by some and listen to them, go with their friends, not to the pool of Siloam, he will be healed or no? Never he will be healed. If in the way they met him, a neighbor and people invite him, and he go into direction without washing his eyes in the pool of Siloam, he'll be healed or no? No. Many people, they receive the instruction correctly in the right direction, but in the middle of the way, when they leave Jesus, they go their own ways. What is the purpose of Jesus sending him to Siloam? Why? He cannot tell him, you can wash here, you give him something and wash. Why he need to do it in such a way in Jerusalem? And you know, John, as if he's telling to us, when you look this here, don't take it lightly, go deep to the scripture and understand what is the Holy Spirit is telling us today. You know, this pool is in Jerusalem, as we have stated last week. This pool also is mentioned in the Old Testament. It has a story in the Old Testament. When Jesus told him, go to wash in Siloam, maybe for me and you who have not born in that area and who have not known the culture or the historical background, for us it is just a pool. But for the people who live in Jerusalem, it has a deep story. And that was the message that God, that Jesus, through that blind man who had healed by him, he gave a very clear message to the whole people of Jerusalem. The name of this pool is mentioned in Isaiah chapter 8. And you know very well that the Pharisees and the teacher of the laws, the chief priests, they know the scripture even by heart, especially the scripture of Isaiah. Jesus, in the first time that he, when the minister hand over to him the scroll, he hand over to him the scroll that is from the book of Isaiah. And he told him, today the scripture is fulfilled in your presence. Isaiah chapter 8. We need to understand the scriptures. So we understand how Jesus evangelized. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 6. That was the time of the king, time of King Ahaz. And the time of King Ahaz, there was invasion on Judah. And this was the prophet said, for as much this people refuses the waters of Shiloah that go safely and rejoice in Rezin and Remaliah's son. Now here the water of Shiloah, the meaning of it also sent the same pool of water. The prophet Isaiah said the people refuse that. Did the people like the water of Siloam or they refuse it? They refuse. Jesus sent the man there to where the people refuse. Have you got the point here? I'll tell you the truth from the scriptures. If you want to stay here, tell you God, tell you go. If you want to go from here, he will tell you stay. If you want to stand there, he will tell you sit down. Anything in the flesh, he will oppose it. If you want to stand up, he will tell you sit down. If you want to sit down, he will tell you stand. If you want to marry, he will say no. If you don't want to marry, he will say you go on. Everything in the flesh that man rejects, God will work it out very clearly to make you move out of it to go into his will. Let's go to understand the story of Shiloah. Now at that time, when they refused the water of Shiloah, they were happy with what? In the same verse. Rezin and son of Ramali. I will tell you who is Rezin and who is son of Ramali. Rezin was the king of Syria. Son of Remaliah was the king over Israel. Now the story here is this. when the house of Israel divided at the end of King Solomon's reign, when he died, the house of Israel was divided, the house of David and the house of Israel. The house of Israel, they did not like to come back to the house of David. They make their own king. Shiloh is the, what you see here, they refuse to go to the that water that go softly. God ordained that they will be under the leadership of David, but they persist be away from Judah, persist they were away from the temple of God, and they have their own king. They have their own king, and when they and more than this, they came with their own king, and they get the help of the king of Syria to be against the house of David. They refuse the gentle water that come softly on them. And let me tell you the value of this message. Jesus is the son of David, right? So when he's telling them, when he's saying to the man, go to the water of Shiloh, if that makes sense to the Jews who are there, makes sense to them that the water of Shiloh was rejected by the Israelites. Now, the Israelites rejected David as their, the house of David as their king and leader. Now we, who are opposing a man whose name Jesus, he was the son, who is claiming to be the son of David. Have you get the point here, what he's telling the message? You want to be like those who reject David and his leadership? You want to reject me the same? Evangelism. If we will not hit the religious, social, cultural, traditional system of the people, we have not done yet the work of God. The church is evangelizing without going deep to the root to uproot it. Why are you sending to Shiloh? Clear message. Clear message, I am the king. If you will not be accepting me, you will be like the son of Remus, you will be like the Israelites. And verse 7 and 8 in the book of Isaiah chapter 8, when we reject Christ, when we reject his discipline, when we reject his will and his word and his method and his style, what will happen to us? And the church, this is what doing. The church is doing now. They have their own ways, their own style, their own explanation away from the will of God. He told them, now therefore, Isaiah 8 verse 7, now therefore, behold, the Lord bringeth up upon them the waters of the river. They don't like pool, I will bring river. Strong and many, even the king of Assyria and all his glory, and he shall come up over all his channels and go over all his banks. Now he is very clear. He's, when they reject the water of Shiloh, the house of David, what God bring on them? He brought on them the king of Assyria. You know, the northern kingdom was destroyed by the Assyrian. And they took them captive and they deported them, and they were never restored back to their lands. When Jesus would send that man to the water of Shiloh there, and he was in his sea, and the word of his news all over Jerusalem and reached the leadership, it has a meaning or no? It has a meaning. Jesus being the king, you know, when they put him in front of Pilate, he told them, will I crucify your king? They said to him, the chief priest, we have no king but Caesar. And you know when they rejected him by Caesar, God used Caesar in 70 AD to destroy Jerusalem. He killed every Jewish who are there. The message of evangelism, it has to be clear. rebuke, sin have to be dealt with, culture and tradition have to be uprooted. Verse 8, and he shall pass through Judah, he shall overflow and go over, he shall reach even to the neck, because in the pool you are under only here to the feet. Gentle water, salt water, but in the river, you will be drawn. If we don't like to humble down with a certain discipline and certain measure, and God is rebuking the whole lands all over the world, and He's waiting for man to humble down. Still arrogance in our own way. We do what we like. We wash where we like. We are sent to do certain things, we do other things on the way. And what you say here, and he shall pass through Judah, he shall overflow and go over, he shall reach even to the neck, and the stretching out of his wings shall fill the breadth of thy land, O Emmanuel. That's God that we worship. The God that we worship, God with us, to rebuke us, to deal with us, and God is dealing now with His church properly. And He waited for His church to repent. In the book of 2 Kings, in chapter 5, Book of 2 Kings, my people perish because lack of knowledge. That is Jesus that we worship. And we should not reject the Old Testament scriptures. To have a deep meaning and stories that God will speak to us. In the book of 2 Kings, chapter 5, upon the, if you remember the healing of that took a place for Naaman. Naaman, he was a man who was the leader of the Syrian army, and God through him had brought victories. He got sick. He had leprosy. And his master sent him to the king of Israel to be healed. When he came to the king of Israel, he told him, I'm not God. The prophet Elisha hear about it. He told him, send him to me. Then he may know there's a God in Israel. In verse 9, 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 9, so Naaman came with his horses and with his chariots and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. It's very simple things Elisha requested him to do. The same way Jesus requested that man, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. But Naaman was wroth, he was angry, and went away and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the river. Are not Abana and Farfar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. As with the simple water of Shiloh. When we tell the people, this is not the way, go this way. The gentle way they reject. They go to the hard way. And the hard way, at the beginning of it, is very sweet. Mango and bananas and nice life at the beginning of it. But just go away deep and you will see the desolation. And the troubles and the terrible things being away from God. When we refuse the simple instruction that bring us life and do our own, because we don't see the future. But when we see things not in front of the scriptures, it is destruction. and need to eat. Now, verse 13, and his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great things, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he says to thee, Wash and be clean. Simple things he asks you. Have you got the point here? He asks you simple things, wash and be clean. Here the prophet was dealing with him. What was his pride? It was only pride. Have you got the point? Well, what he did, how he is, he did not go outside. He just gave him the message. That is what he needs to humble them. His servant they spoke to him. When he obeyed and went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of the little child, and he was clean. Now here's the point. The instruction that Jesus gave to that man, if he would not obey the details of it, he would never be healed. And when we evangelize, we don't give options, multiple choice. There's no multiple choice in evangelism. There is one option, one way, that is scripture clear. And it's up to the people if they will obey all. In Acts chapter 22. Acts 22, upon the conversion of Saul, and how he get baptized. Why did Jesus send him to wash in the pool of Siloam. Pool of Siloam is refused by others, but you need to accept it yourself. At that time, in Jerusalem, there was no king but Caesar. And Jesus said, I am your king. And you have to accept him. That was the message. Acts 22 verse 16. And now why tellest thou, arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Washing in water also, meaning water baptism. Upon confession of faith, repentance, renouncing of our sin, we need to be immersed in the water as a sign of our repentance and willingness to declare Christ is Lord over our lives. Now we go back to what happened in that miracle that Jesus did to that blind man who had been born as a blind person. In verse 8, John 9, 8, the neighbors therefore and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. Now here's the point, to be born again. When the people saw him, his neighbor, they know he's the man, but is he the man? I mean, we know him, but that is a different person now. Because he was blind, begging, so now his eyes open. His life is completely changed. That's a born-again experience. Born-again experience, people should know you are a completely different person. Not only different person, completely also against him. Not only different person. Not only strange, but you will see later on that you completely contradict what is in their mind and thoughts. They ask, is he the person? Some they say he is the one. Some say he is not, but somebody like him. So they were doubting him. That if he is not, because he was completely changed by the Lord. But how he answer? How he declare himself to them? What he say? I am he. You know, when we truly repent of our sin, We are not ashamed at all of our past. But when we don't repent, we start to cover up our past, and we have, so in order that our sin will be hidden because we have not yet repented from doing them. What kind of people we are? We get the point here? When Jesus healed the man, he was not with him. He didn't want to come back to me. Join me. He sent him, and when he was washed, he healed. The first, what happened after he was healed, the writers of the Gospel of John, he spoke about his neighbor. There was interactions. They were interaction between him and his neighbor. They saw him as something, as a different person now. He's no more beginning. He's a different person. And he did not deny. He said, I was here, I was beginning. I was, yes, correct, I was like that, I was like that, I was like that, I was like that. But now I am like this. Based on what Jesus did in my life. And then when they hear from him that he is he, what happened after? And they get happy. And they rejoice. What happened after? When he says, I am he. Imagine you go to your work and somebody begging you in front of your office. And every day you are giving him food, sandwich, you give him some money to eat, yeah? And one day you see him, he's standing, good morning, good evening, and he's seeing. What do you feel? Will you be happy or no? You say, yes, yes, I'll be happy. That is the normal thing. You know, when I was reading and studying John 9, I was so much grieving when he told them, I am he. The writer did not say, the people rejoice for the healing that they have seen in the life of the man. That is not mentioned of it, as if he was dead in front of them. How would they receive the gospel in this bad way? Why? We need to understand. A man who was healed, born blind, the first recorded in the Bible, was healed by Jesus. No one born as a blind recorded, except in the Bible. Jesus created to him, regenerated to him eyes on the spot. And people were doubting and were grieving. Well, maybe they are selfish. Why did he not get happy? Why did he not rejoice? Or this writer is not good, John. He did not write it. If they would rejoice, he would write it or no? 100% he would write, and the people rejoice, and the neighbor, they yell to God when they hear, when they saw him see. And still they ask him, Till they ask him, then say they unto him, where is he that he said, sorry. Verse 10, therefore say they unto him, how were thine eyes open? You tell us how it was open. They want to hear the story. But no, do you agree with me, they were happy or no? Have you get the point here? So what he need to do, Jesus, more? He opened the eyes and people are not happy. You want people to be happy with you when you evangelize? You will never find people happy with you unless you disobey God, they will be happy with you. When you compromise with them, they will be happy with you. They ask him, how this happened? Tell us, Jesus was not with them. Okay? The man see them? See them, they are not happy with it or no? They see it. It's very clear that they were. If you have to stay begging them, This is fine with them. But now I am seeing they are asking how that took place. And what he say? He answered and said, a man that's called Jesus made clay and anoint my eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I received sight. What a beautiful testimony. He say, he did not omit anything of what Jesus done to him. Sometimes we cut Siloam because people get upset. And I wash. Do you get the point? To compromise. Because you know, people, I was begging, they were helping me. I should be also nice. That's how the church is evangelizing. It's like a prostitute standing and exposing the body. Prostituting. When the word of God is adulterated, when we don't deal with sin properly, we are a harlot. And we need to repent. He gives them the message clear. What has happened, his testimony, and we need to be very ready to speak our testimony. People get upset, their tradition being hit, their religious system get disturbed. That's what God wants. That's what the real God wants. That's what he did. If you read in the book of Matthew, we read the book of Matthew, a few verses, and we'll come back here. Then we can see what kind of people they were in Jerusalem. In the book of Matthew, so we want to find out why the people were not happy. Are they jealous? Are they selfish? Let's see. Or they don't have love? Or what? Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23. See here. The theme. The writer of the Gospel of Matthew. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sicknesses, and all manner of diseases among their people. And his fame went throughout the whole Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. So here, when he started to do healing, his name was known. And the people, they hear about it, they brought there all their sick people, all kinds of sicknesses, all demon possessed, and they brought him to their Lord, and he healed them, and large number of people, they followed him. So what happened now with that miracle? Why we cannot see that there? Why the people? Let me ask a question. And this question just to make your thought more active. Is Jerusalem a small city or big? It's a big city. I did not search how many people populated there at that time. But still there was a vast number. Are there among them blind people or no? Other than this guy. Sure, right? With that genuine healing, yeah? Would they not say, let us check who is blind more and will bring him to him? Is that correct? Why they did not do it? Why they did not do it? We need to understand what is going on. When we evangelize, I can make it simply to one of the three ways. Either we give the word of God alone, as John the Baptist, scriptures, either we do miracles, we lay hands and God will heal people, or we do some benevolence and kindness to the people. Amen? One of these reasons that the Lord will use to evangelize. But in evangelism, by one of the three methods, if we will not hit the religious and the cultural and the traditional background of the people, we are not doing well, because sin is still there residing. What Jesus did with that miracle, he hit that corrupted religious traditional culture that need to be moved away from people's life. Let's go back to John 9. I am not preparing to you to accept the explanation, but I am just letting you see the scriptures that people were not happy much about it when they see a brand new healing, blindness being opened and can see normally. They were not much happy with it. In verse 12, John 9, 12, they said they unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. Where is Jesus? They told him. He said, I don't know. And that's true, because when he was open his eyes, when he was able to see, Jesus was not with him. Jesus sent him to Siloam. And that was his mission. And from there, he started to preach this man. He started to preach the gospel. He told him, I know the name. How he know the name? Maybe while he was putting the clay, his disciples, they told him that it's Jesus. So I hear about it that Jesus put the clay on his eyes. They ask him, where is Jesus? They say, I don't know. Verse 13, what they did? They say, okay, no problem. Let us search for him and bring to him all our sick people. What they did? They brought to the Pharisee him that a fourth time was blind. So very clear, the people were not happy with what had taken place. They were doubting about it, and they brought him, the first thing they brought him to the Pharisees to check what was going on. Let me tell you about people. People, they like peace, right? Every one of you like peace? And certain time we like peace, even there is sin. Even there is something wrong, we want to keep the peace. But that is not the peace of God. That's not the peace of God that surpasses our understanding. People also, they don't like changes. Yes, what you are speaking correct. But changes mean headache, problems. Have you get the point here? There are certain issues, if, you know, people, they don't like to just open the fire, because there's much work need to be done. And that's what was going there in Jerusalem. He faced them with a real issue. I am the Son of God, I am descendant of David, I am your king. Excellent. He did miracles here, he did miracles. Yes, thank you. But we want to live peacefully. We don't want disturbances in our lives. Many people, when they hear the message is good, correct. But if we want to apply it, we have to face many troubles. It's better face the troubles now and get heaven, better than to live in peace and get to heaven at the end. Also, one thing more about people. People, if you want to do change, you do. You do, we are watching. If you win, we are with you. If you win, we are with you. When they brought him in front of Pilate, yeah? He was arrested, right? What did the people say? Did they say that he opened the eyes of the blind man? He is weak, right? Crucify him. People are with the strong. Do the changes, everything. You prove yourself, we are with you. If you don't prove yourself, we are with our corrupted religious, traditional, cultural system. We believe in God, but we are not going to be changed. Because we are not willing to suffer for it. Why they brought him to the Pharisees? They already know. The leaders are not accepting him. And let me ask one question. Why you need to do it on the Sabbath, the miracle? In verse 14, it was the seventh day when Jesus made the clay and opened the eyes. Why he need to do it on the Sabbath? Do it on Friday. Monday, Tuesday do it, okay? Why you do it on the Saturday? Did he mean it? Did he mean to disturb them? Yes. When we disturb the culture and the traditional system, religious system of the people that we are reaching, then with the gospel, that is God's will, because in these practices where they lie on. Intentionally, you do it on the Sabbath. If you do it on Monday, people will accept it or no? Will be accepted. But where here the message is not effective. According to the Pharisees' understanding that healing should not be on the Sabbath. Yes, correct that the scripture we should honor the Sabbath. But God can heal us on the Sabbath while we are resting. And because it's a simple explanation. God can heal us when we are rested in His presence. He was coming to heal the sick. They did not accept him because they did not accept him being the Son of God. So when he sent this man to the pool of Siloam, he's telling them, I am he. Don't be like the Israelites who rejected the water of Siloam and they were swollen by the Assyrian. In Luke chapter 12. I'm speaking here about effective evangelism. Because those who have been believing Galilee, listen to this, in Galilee and Decapolis and other areas that we have read in Matthew at the beginning of Jesus' mission, they will be finally connected in Jerusalem. And if Jerusalem is not dealt with, what is the corruption in Jerusalem in the church today will separate back to them. We pick them from Muslim background, we pick them up from Buddhist, from Hindu background, but if the church corrupted with the religious system and traditional cultural ways of the church today, the salvation would be lost. In Luke chapter 12, speaking about peace, Luke chapter 12 and verse 51 and 53. Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth, I tell you, nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, the mother against the mother, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother, and the mother-in-law against the daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And that's what happened in John chapter 9 and verse 6. When they brought him to the Pharisees, and they start to question him. When they brought him to the... When they brought that blind man, he stayed, and again the Pharisees, verse 15, asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put the clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. Now here in verse 14, it mentioned that the miracle was taking place on the Sabbath. Those who brought him, have they told to the Pharisee about that this miracle on the Sabbath? Yes, they reported to them everything, and the Pharisee, they asked him what took place. So he told them briefly what had happened. Therefore, say some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. But the other said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. Finally, the word of God that Jesus did, not only preached with the blind man, so he did not preach to him, but he just healed his eyes. But the way he did it, the way of life that he said before that man to go and wash on that pool, that was the message that brought division inside the council of the Pharisees. God willing, next week we will continue meditating from John 9 about how to have effective evangelism. We need that especially at this time. We are at the same time of Jesus, full of synagogues, but away from the will of God and away from the word of God. Let's stand. Lord, we thank you for your word to us. Teach us more of your ways. Humble us to accept correction, to accept your will, to accept your teaching. Bring us deep into scriptures. Let your will be done. O God, we enthrone you in our praises, in our midst. You are our King. Teach us, O God, how to serve you. Use our life to reach people and to do the very things that will bring effective evangelism. Oh God, even the whole city was against you, but you never change the will of God. Even you have done a marvelous miracle. No one had believed you from those who had witnessed that miracle. But you have done it, oh God. You have done the right things, oh God, we throne you. Lord, I throne you over my life. I want you to be the King, to lead me to do the very things. Even the whole city will be upset about it. They will question me. They will doubt. But Lord, I am willing here today. Oh God, we as a church, we are willing not to prostitute ourselves with the waywardness of your church and your people. Oh God, we pray you lead us. We enthrone you in our midst to serve you. In Jesus' name.
Jesus, we enthrone you. We proclaim
Please God, come and take your place in our midst, in our lives. We are willing to do the very thing you want us. To help us, guide us. Lead us with your Holy Spirit to do the very work of yours, even at this difficult time in our life, in our ministry. You belong to lead us in the fruitful way of life and serving you. Bless each and everyone. Bless our brothers and sisters who have set their heart to do your willing will. Lead us to people, O God, who are in need, people who are not in need, who are whatever people you want us to go, we are willing. Whatever people you want us to deal with, we are still willing for them. I pray the anointing shall be upon us to teach us the very ways of you. We thank you, Lord, for your grace. God, bless us, bless our children, Lord. Let your hand with us. Keep us, Lord, from harm so that we are not forgiven. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost be with us all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.